Our scripture reading today is from Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, and I'm reading from the Good News Bible. When the Son of Man comes as King, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His royal throne, and the people of all nations will be gathered before Him. Then He will divide them into two groups, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the righteous people at His right, and the others at His left. Then the King will say to the people on His right, "Come, you that are blessed by My Father, come and possess the kingdom which has been prepared for you ever since the creation of the world. I was hungry, and you fed me. Thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you received me in your homes. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. In prison, and you visited me." The righteous will then answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and welcome you in our homes, or naked and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The King will reply, "I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these followers of mine, you did it for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Away from me, you that are under God's curse, away to the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, but you did not feed me. Thirsty, but you would not give me a drink. I was a stranger, but you would not welcome me in your homes. Naked, but you would not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, but you would not take care of me." Then they will answer him, "When, Lord, did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and we would not help you?" The King will reply, "I tell you, whenever you refuse to help one of these least important ones, you refuse to help me." These then will be sent off to eternal punishment, but the righteous will go on to eternal life. Let us join now in our hymn of meditation, number 2164, Sanctuary.
We're going to sing it through twice.
Lord, help us to hear the message that you have for each one of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I think most of us are old enough here to remember Elvis Presley, or at least you've heard about him. And I think that whenever you hear the name Elvis, it conjures up something different for each one of us. Some of you might think of his hairdo, or his blue suede shoes, or his gyrating hips. Others might think of Graceland or one of his hit songs like I ain't nothing like a hound dog or Love Me Tender, Love Me True. Or some of you may even think of that famous line, Elvis has left the building. Thank you very much. I can't do that. One year when Dave and I were living in Prague, I came back to the States for a few weeks, and while I was here, I was going to be flying from Philadelphia to Los Angeles. But unfortunately, because of storms, I think here in the Midwest, of course, you know, that shuts down the airports every other place and puts things behind schedule, and so our departure time kept being moved back, and we were waiting in the terminal with lots of other people who were also waiting for their flights to leave, and we were waiting for about 2 hours, and finally they said, okay, we can board, and so we got checked in, and we got in our seats, and we pulled away from the gate, and then we stopped, and we sat on the tarmac for 3 hours. Now, the pilot would come on about every 20 minutes or so to give us an update, and he always said the same thing, we're going to take off in about 20 minutes. Finally, the last time he came on, he said, if we don't take off in the next 10 minutes, I'm going to go back to the gate, and we're going to try again tomorrow. 5 minutes later, we took off. Now, it was already planned that we were stopping in Nashville as a stopover. Well, of course, after being late 5 hours, I missed my connection, as did others who had connections. In fact, when we got to Nashville, the airport was really closed, and we got off the plane in a dark airport. Almost everybody on that plane was staying in Nashville, and there was about 6 of us who were around the ticket counter, and the gal was trying to find a place for each of us to stay. The airlines would put us up for the night. And she was just typing away, and you could tell she was frustrated, and she was looking, and finally she found something for 2 people, and then she found something for another 2 people, and there was just me and another lady standing there, and the gal was just getting more and more frustrated, and she mumbled something like, you know, there is nothing available. And so I innocently said, well, is there some big convention going on in Nashville that all of the hotels are filled up? And she looked at me like I had 2 heads, and she said, well, it's DED Day. And I stupidly said, what is DED Day? And then she did know that I was an alien, and she pulled herself up and she said, well, date of Elvis, death, of course. Then she began to explain to me that thousands of people come into Nashville on that particular date. I don't even remember what the date was, sometime in August. And she said, in fact, they're out now walking around Nashville with candles. And I know I shouldn't have said it, but I said, what, are they looking for him? She did not appreciate that, but I came to appreciate DED Day because the only hotel room that she could find for me was a suite in a 5-star hotel. And just like Elvis, the church has left the building. Now, you might say, no, that doesn't make sense. How can the church leave itself? The building is still here. But you know that the church is not the building. It's not something that opens and closes with prayer. It's not something you attend. It's something you are. Church isn't a place. The church is right here. We are the church. We are the body of Christ right here at First Baptist Delaware. But the church is also meeting down the block at William Street and at St. Mary's and at the River Church and at First Presbyterian and Zion AME and many other churches in Delaware. Church is also meeting throughout Ohio and across the nation and around the world. And many of those churches are not meeting in buildings. And in fact, some of them don't even have a building. We are the church, and the church always needs to leave the building. A pastor was approached one day by a man who said he wanted to join the church. But he said, you know what, I got to tell you right from the get-go that I live a very busy life, so I cannot be called upon to do anything. I will not teach Sunday school or even come to Sunday school or Bible study. I won't sing in the choir. I won't serve on a committee or a board. I just want to come to worship, and then I want to go on about my business. Well, the pastor thought for a minute, and then he said, well, I really think you have the wrong church. I think the church that you want is two blocks down on the right. Well, the man followed those directions, and when he got there, he realized he was standing in front of an abandoned, boarded-up church. It was a dead church that had gone out of business. In the scripture passage that Larry read to us from the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus tells a parable about when he returns. And in it he says he will separate the sheep and the goats. And he's very specific in his description here. On one side will be the sheep, who are those who have fed the hungry, who have welcomed the stranger, who have clothed those who are in need of clothes, who have helped the sick and visited the prisoner. And Jesus says, whenever you do those things for others, you're doing it for him. And so he says to them, come, take your inheritance in the kingdom which has already been prepared for you. But to the goats, he says, whenever you failed to do those things for anyone, you failed to do them for me. And then he says, those will go to eternal punishment, but the righteous will go to eternal life. I'd say that this is pretty specific and very clear. When Shane Claiborne was a student in college at Eastern University, just outside of Philadelphia, he noticed a headline one day in the newspaper that said that, that some homeless families were being evicted and kicked out of an old abandoned cathedral. There were 40 families that had taken up residence in this old church, and that they had no electricity and no heat. But the city was evicting them, and there really was no other place for them to go. The housing list for housing was long. And Shane shared this with some of his friends, and they grappled with, what does it mean to be a follower of Christ? What does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself? What does it mean to help those in need? And so they got in their car, and they went down to this church building. It was a church building that took up an entire block. And on it, someone had hung a banner that said, we worship a homeless man on Sunday, but then we ignore one on Monday. Well, they knocked on the door of the church, and people, once they knew that they were not the authorities, welcomed them in. And they showed them around and gave them a tour while the children jumped all over their backs. And then they shared their hearts and their struggles and their dreams with them. When they got back to campus, Shane went around and hung flyers up all over and said, Jesus is being kicked out of a church in North Philly. Come to Tea Hall Lounge tonight at 10 o'clock to hear more. Well, he thought there might be about a dozen students that would show up, but 100 students packed out that lounge. And Shane shared with them what they had discovered, and that the next day these people were going to be evicted or they were going to be arrested. And so these 100 students piled into their cars and they drove into inner city Philadelphia. And they said, if they're going to take you, they're going to take us too. And as they stayed the night and as the hour got closer for the police and the authorities to come and evict them, they gathered together and they prayed and they sang together. And then someone said, if you are willing to stay and risk being arrested, raise your hand. Well, Shane raised his hand with everybody else, and a little girl by the name of Destiny, who had been sitting in his lap, looked at him and said, why are you raising your hand? And he said, do you want to stay here? And she said, yes, this is my home. And he said, that's why I'm raising my hand. And she gave Shane a hug, and she raised her hand too. Well, of course, you know, the media had picked up on all of this, and they were all outside, and then all the people from the church came out and stood on the steps at the appointed hour, and the authorities and the police pulled up, and when they saw the crowd, they got back in their cars and they went away. But their troubles weren't over. The students began to stay 24/7 because they knew that if the numbers got low and the police or authorities came, they could either evict or arrest them. And if they got wind that the authorities might be coming, they would call back to campus, and they purchased an air horn, and they would blow it. And if you've been to Eastern Campus, it's not huge, and so you could hear that air horn all over the place. And then they would jump in their cars, and they would race down to the church to be there. A few weeks later, the families held a press conference, and then together with all the students, they walked to the mayor's office to ask him to try looking through their eyes and try walking in their shoes. And then they all took off their shoes and they left them in front of the mayor's office. Eventually, everyone got housing. The church had left the building. We are called to be like Christ and to have a servant heart. And if we are to be the church of Jesus Christ, then we need to continue to be willing to go where the needs are. For a long time, and even over this past year, our church has been serving at Andrew's House, at Family Promise, at Penn, and many other places. And as you heard, this next month, we are going to be starting a ministry with Woodward Elementary by supplying school supplies and whatever else they might need throughout the next school year. We've been doing that as a church. Our mission and outreach team has been instigating these things and getting you involved in that. But I've also discovered some individuals who are out there being the church. Before the new Panera in front of Bueller's opened, Pat Gosser went and met with the manager there because she had heard that Panera every day gives away whatever food they have left over, whatever bread and pastries they had left over, and she wanted to be sure that we could get on that list. And so for the first couple of weeks after they opened, Pat was there on Thursday evening getting a humongous amount of bread and pastries. And then she would take it home and she bagged it up in baggies, and then we were taken to Andrew's House on Friday morning, and they are using it for their meals and their school lunch program. And now Pat has gotten some of you involved in that too. As you know, many of us, as I said before, have been going this summer and will continue to go to the summer lunch program at Woodward. But did you know that Alex Ferguson went one day a week all last summer, and he's doing it again this summer? The church has left the building. Recently, Ken and Genevieve Peterson were honored at Willowbrook with the highest award that they give to volunteers, called the Gift of Love Award. And this is what was said about them. They give time and attention quietly, observing needs and serving them. And Genevieve was described as having a kind and nourishing spirit. I know that Genevieve also has a prayer shawl and a card ministry at Willowbrook. And I know that she also goes to the food pantry sometimes. Linda White has volunteered at Global Villages, at Penn, and the Arts Council, and other places I may not know about. Ken Shears works tirelessly on behalf of the Vietnam War veterans in our community, serving on the board of the local chapter and also helping veterans understand their benefits. The church has left the building. But you don't necessarily have to go anywhere special. Debbie Fogel has an elderly, very elderly neighbor who lives alone, and she checks in on him regularly, and she helps out with whatever needs he has. Mary Lou Lovell drives people to doctor's appointments and to the store who can't drive themselves. The church has left the building. Now, these are just a few of our members throughout being the church in the world, and I know there are more. And I'm not putting these up on a pedestal, but we need to be celebrating all that this body of Christ is doing outside these walls, because the church has left the building. James says, "What good is it if a person claims to have faith but has no actions? Faith by itself without actions is dead. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do." It doesn't take much to be the church. Even the smallest gesture can mean the most to someone. a smile, a kind word to a waitress or a store clerk, giving of yourself in some way to help someone in need, expecting nothing in return. We will never change the world by coming to church. We'll only change the world by being the church. Whatever you do, wherever you go, whether it's Saturday or Sunday or any day in between, you are the church, and we are at our best when the church leaves the building. Let us pray. Lord, you call us to leave this place and to be your hands and feet and voice in this world. Give us strength to continue to do that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The song of response is hymn number 481, So Send I You. Don't forget our lemonade in the shade right outside, and I will greet you out there. Listen to these words from Romans 10. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have not heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is what the scripture means when they say, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Let us leave this building now and go into a world that is waiting for all that we have to give. God Amen.
Yes, I did. I want to do that. And it says you're going to be